Well, good morning. Once again, welcome to Christian Baptist Church, our time of worship this morning. Very special day today, as it is the day of Pentecost, the day when the Holy Spirit descended on the disciples in Jerusalem, and it's the birthday of the church. Today is the day when we celebrate the day the church was birthed through the power of the Holy Spirit working on the disciples, and powerful changes started to happen in Jerusalem and then throughout the Roman Empire and down to this day. Everything we do in the Lord's name, we do through the power and the will and the direction of the Holy Spirit. We cannot do it in our own strength. It just doesn't work that way. So, time of celebration today. Got some announcements to make. In your bulletin, we are having a congregational meeting on the 14th of June after the service, and that will be to discuss next steps and going forward with the restoration requirements of the church building. Still looking for people to volunteer to help out in the children's ministry. Just one Sunday a month, one Sunday every 2 months would be fine. We just need an extra few hands to give up one Sunday to be with the children. So if you're interested in that, please speak to Donna or Annette and let them know that you're willing to take the class for one Sunday once in a while. You've got a green insert in your bulletin this morning for One Church Newmarket. One Church is the banner name or the logo for the churches in Newmarket who get together to do community work. We're part of that through my involvement with the ministerial, and there are lots of other churches that are part of that. But we have now this wonderful opportunity. We're partnering with Habitat for Humanity. There's a faith build going on Andrew Street, which is just down the road and round the corner. And the house is being built for a needy family. And now it's the opportunity for all of the churches in the community to be part of that. And we are, the One Church is the title sponsor for this build. So it will be One Church Newmarket that'll have its name on the sign, because we are the title sponsor for this build. But that means we need participation from members of the congregation to come out, put a hard hat on and swing a hammer once in a while and participate in the physical build of the church. It's a great time to be seen, to be part of the community, and a great time to be in unity with our brothers and sisters of other denominations. But to do that, we really need what we call a habitat hero, which is one point person in the congregation who will be the lead communicator between Habitat, One Church, and this congregation. Make sure things get in the bulletin, make sure our website is updated. So I'm looking for one person who will just take that on. This is a fall project, and the home will be built by December. So this is not a lifelong commitment we're asking for, it's just a short-term commitment. So if you're interested in that, that I'd be very interested in speaking to you after the service today. The church picnic is on June 21st here at the church, good weather prevailing. We'll have it outside as we usually do. And just a reminder that next week is another great Sunday of celebration. Abigail will be being baptized next Sunday, and this is a very exciting time for her, for me, and for the family, and for the whole congregation to see yet another person come to faith in Jesus Christ and enter into the waters of baptism. Now, I have a special... for the Habitat, downstairs I've got a box of these T-shirts, which are part of the fundraising for the Habitat Faith Build. For a minimum donation of $10, you can take yourself back a T-shirt, take yourself home a T-shirt, and when you come out to the job site, you can wear it and be seen to be part of this community of faith that is helping a needy family in the community. So see me afterwards for those. I now want to call Roy to come up here. Now, Roy phoned me a little while ago and asked me a question. Roy, do you want to tell us what the question was you asked?
I ordered a book, and I called him. I called the book.
What is the book called?
The Bible book.
And who's it for, Roy?
Ninny, my myself and over the book.
Okay. And who's Ninny?
One of my staff came.
One of the staff at the home, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And she asked you for the Bible?
Yeah.
And you said you'd get one.
Well,
on behalf of Christian Baptist Church, would you bring this back to Ninny and tell her we bless her and we hope that she will read it? Thank you, Roy. Thank you, Roy. There's Roy spreading the word where he lives, in his place. And that's an example to us all. If you've got a friend, family member, anybody at work, at school, and they show any interest at all, we will give you a Bible to give to them. Okay?
The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 65, verse 24, "Even before they call out to me, I will answer them. While they are still speaking, I will hear them." He hears us, he hears our prayers, and he's rescued us and wants to hear from us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the beautiful sunshine. We pray that you would be with us today as we worship you and feel your presence among us. Amen. So I'm going to take you back a couple of decades. Does anybody remember the 80s? I don't, because I was only with Saul, but some of you might remember the 80s. Anyway, there was a TV sitcom from the 80s called The Golden Girls, and I can remember sitting in the living room with my grandmother because she really liked to watch that show. Anyway, these were a group of retired widows living in Florida, and there was one of the older ladies, a mother, I guess, of one of the other people living in the house. Her name was Sophia, anyway, and she was from Sicily, Italy, and she would always be telling stories about from her old country, and I can hear people chuckling, so I guess I'm not the only one that remembers this bizarre thing. So anyway, she would always start a story. She'd be like, picture it, Sicily. And there'd be this like dramatic pause, and then she'd tell you the year and then the story, and it would go on from there. Well, today, I want to picture it. Jerusalem, 33 AD. Jesus has risen from the dead, and he's ascended into heaven. And so now the disciples are waiting. They have their instructions from God to wait until he sends his spirit. So they're waiting. Not sure when or where God's spirit will come, but they're so eager and they're so excited and impatient because they want to spread God's good news. They don't want to wait. They want to do as Jesus told them, to go to the ends of the earth to spread his word. So they're waiting and waiting and praying and gathering and praying. Then, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit descended on the disciples who were hidden in an upper room in Jerusalem. A violent wind and tongues of fire were the symbols of a new thing happening in their lives. Can you picture that? It's pretty cool to me. I don't know. It sounds pretty cool. What it must have been like for them to be sitting there and all of a sudden, this violent wind and fire and tongues and all this crazy stuff starts happening. But what about us? Do we have that same sense of excitement? Of wonder, of impatience? Do we get excited about opportunities to spread God's word, to fill his great commission of making disciples? Are we ourselves willing to leave everything behind as the original disciples did and go to the ends of the earth for God? Or are we still waiting? Let's ponder that today. Let's pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, your Holy Spirit came to Jesus' disciples. May your Holy Spirit burst into our lives today, encouraging and inspiring us to proclaim boldly the good news of Jesus who offers healing and hope to all people. Sometimes it's easier for us to hide in the upper room, to let the world go by and not acknowledge your presence. But you have challenged us to come alive again with your love. Forgive us our hesitant witness and our complacent spirits. Help us to be witnesses that you have called us to be, wherever we are. Challenge us and inspire us. Remind us that you have called us beloved and have given us what we need to proclaim your good news. Knock us off our seats, Lord, with the wind of your Holy Spirit. Don't let us just sit back and rest as though nothing important is happening. Remind us that you have come to bless and prepare us for your service. Send us out into the world. Help us to remember that you have given us what we need to be your disciples. We just need to say a resounding yes. Thank you for all the patience and blessings you pour into our lives each and every day as we offer our lives back to you in joy and in hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
When you were mentioning the 1980s, I thought you were referring to the song, like Shine Jesus Shine is an 80s song. Father God, indeed we are blessed to be here today. We are blessed by the presence of your Holy Spirit in us and among us. And we thank you for blessing us with all of you've given us. Receive now from us these, our tithes and our offerings. Lord, we pray you will multiply them, and we will use them appropriately for your kingdom work. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hi. How is everybody this morning? Good?
Good.
Tell me, anybody have any fruit trees in your yard? Or a neighbor have a fruit tree? A black cherry tree. How do you know it's a black cherry tree? Because your mom told you. Hasn't given you any cherries. So if you saw a fruit tree, how would you know what kind of fruit tree it was? By looking at the fruit. That's good. Jacob, would you want to do that again? At the fruit. It's kind of obvious, isn't it? If you look at a tree and it's got apples on it, you don't have to think, is that an oak tree or cherry tree? You look at it, it's got apples. It's bearing fruit of an apple tree. You know it's an apple tree. Our message today is, because it's the message of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and he gave gifts to the church, but he also gave fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is what we display when we're Christians and we're responding to the work of the Spirit in our lives. Can you give me an example of what a fruit of the Spirit might be for someone who's a Christian? What kind of things might they display that would show that they're a Christian? Sorry? Generosity, good. Anything else? Yeah. Love, there we go. Kindness. Faith. They're good. They're good. They read the text in Galatians. Yeah. Love, kindness, generosity. There's a whole list of them. There's 9 of them. We're going to be studying that in the sermon today. But we just sang a song that said, they'll know we are Christians by our... love. Right. They'll know we are Christians by our love. When we show love to one another, and we show love to our brothers and sisters, I know that's hard. Trust me, I'm 1 of 7 children. I know how hard that can be. Okay, but when we show love to our brothers and sisters at home, and to our mum and dad, and to our neighbors and our friends at school, that's the fruit of being a Christian. That's the fruit that says, this person, Christian, I can tell by the way he loves people, by the way he's gentle, by the way he's kind, by the way he's generous. Okay, let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for the day. We give you thanks for these children. Lord, we pray your blessing of your Spirit upon each one of them and their homes, their families, and their parents. Lord, guide them and direct them, we pray, this day and all the days of their lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us pray. Once again, we find ourselves in a quiet place, a place set apart for worship. And in the silence and quietness of this place, we meet with our God. Not that we can't meet him elsewhere and everywhere, but this place particularly has been set apart for that purpose. So, Heavenly Father, we know you are present among us by your Holy Spirit. We are celebrating today that great day when the Holy Spirit came and lit a fire on the church. And Lord, we pray that that same fire would light up each one of us, that our hearts would blaze with the presence of the Holy Spirit, that when we speak, people hear God speak. When we interact with people, they feel the love and the joy that we experience by having your Spirit indwell each one of us. Father, hear our prayers this morning. Lord, we pray for our dear sister Iris, Lord. We pray for continued healing after her surgery. Lord, we ask you will restore her to health so she can come back among us very quickly. Lord, we give you thanks this morning that Bill is with us. Bill Arthur is with us, Lord, and the healing continues on his eye after his surgery. And Lord, we give you thanks for the gift of healing. We also give you thanks for the gift of the surgeons and the medical profession that we have at hand. And we realize, Lord, that we have so much when so many parts of the world do not have anything close to that. But we thank you for Bill being with us today. We ask you to continue to restore his sight, and Lord, we pray that you'll restore it to full sight again. I know each one of you has something you want to bring to the Lord this morning, an item of praise, I hope, for the things he's doing in your life, but also maybe there's a prayer and a supplication that you'd like to bring before him. So in the quietness of this place, once again, just be quite alone with your Lord, for he is with you, and he wants to hear from you. Father God, you hear the prayers, the unspoken, the unvoiced prayers of our hearts. Lord, you know what's going on in each of our hearts, each of our homes and our families and our marriages. Lord, where there is conflict or unsettledness there in our homes, Lord, I pray you'll bring peace and joy once more. Restore the joy into our homes, we pray. Lord, for those with children and challenged with children, we pray for special anointing on the parents in dealing with children. And for those who have parents, elderly members of their family who need care and attention, Lord, we pray a special blessing on their children, their adult children who must look after them. Lord, you know what's going on in all of our lives, Lord. So we ask you to bring peace and joy to each one of our homes this day. I'm going to ask George Meisner if he would come forward. George has a testimony he wants to share with the congregation this morning.
Thank you, Keith. I don't know about you, but I am very tired today, but I'm very thankful to be here. In fact, I'm excited. As most of you know, I make my living by being a driving instructor, and I have been for 27 years. But last night, on the way home after a long day of work, about 5:15, I was proceeding east on Mulock Drive, intending on turning north onto Leslie. I was on my way, ironically, to look at a new car, because my car is up there. And I suddenly was almost killed. I came within a hair of being killed. And I'm not exaggerating. One of the things we teach students at Young Drivers of Canada is how to deal with a possible head-on collision. And yesterday at that time, as I was, I had just moved into the left lane in order to make a left at Mulock and Leslie, an oncoming black, looked like an SUV, literally lunged toward me into my lane. I had absolutely no time to even think about my life flashing before my eyes. It was so fast. I didn't even have time to check my blind spot. Don't tell my boss that. But I swerved into the right lane and just very, very narrowly missed a head-on collision, which I'm sure would have been fatal with the angle that he or she was coming at. I stopped in the left turn lane at the lights, which were red at Mulock and Leslie, and the driver who had been on my right side and in the lane over stopped also. He was driving a pickup truck, and he said, more or less, "That guy just about killed both of us, didn't he?" And I said, "Yeah." What was going through his head? And then he identified himself as a former student of mine from 11 years ago. And we were both glad that we had reacted quickly. I am not normally quick at reacting, as my wife will tell you, but I sure did then. And I just want to thank God for the ability to do that. I could say I was very tired, and it was amazing that I could react that quickly. So I calmly went on to the Hyundai dealership and test drove a new car. Whether I buy it or not remains to be seen. But again, I just want to thank God for that opportunity he gave me of looking at that first hymn that we sang this morning, led by Rhiannon and the group. I was rescued, I can assure you of that. So thank the Lord.
Father, I just pray a blessing on George and on all others who drive for a living and are on the road a good number of hours a day. Lord, just to send angels of protection to look after them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You've been following the seasons of the church year, and we've come through the season of Lent to the cross of Good Friday, to the resurrection of Easter Sunday, and then to the Ascension, and now we come to the day of Pentecost. And a lot of people would say that Pentecost is a Christian festival. It's a Jewish festival. And the word Pentecost means 50th day. And there are huge parallels, unmistakable parallels between the Jewish Exodus and their first Passover and our own Passover at the cross and the resurrection. After the Jews had left, the Israelites had left Egypt, led by Moses into the Sinai. 50 days afterwards, Moses went up Sinai and God gave him the Ten Commandments. So there was a 50-day period from the Exodus, from the release of bondage, to the giving of the law. Can anybody tell me what happened when, after Moses came down from the mountain with the tablets? Yeah, he had a veil when he was there, yeah. What happened at the foot of the mountain? Anybody?
He found that they had turned to...
They had turned to other gods?
Created a golden calf.
Golden calf, that's right. And what was God's reaction to that?
3,000 people died. 3,000 people died under the wrath of God for worshiping an idol. Fast forward to Jesus' death, resurrection, 50 days later, in parallel with 50 days of the giving of the law, after 50 days of Jesus' resurrection, we have the giving of the Spirit. So we have the two testaments, the testament of law and the testament of the Spirit, the season of law and the season of the Spirit, which we are now in. We're now in the season of the being guided by the Holy Spirit, not being guided by a book of laws or a list of laws, but being guided by the indwelling Holy Spirit. And what happened on that first day of the giving of the Holy Spirit? Acts 2:41. The end. Give it a shot. Go on. No. That's right. But what happened at the end of Peter's speech? How many thousands? Three. Exact parallel is the giving of the law, and 3,000 people died at the giving of the Spirit. 3,000 people were born again. Isn't the scripture marvelous? The way it's threaded together, the way God has had this written over hundreds of years, and the stories parallel and they match each other. So we're not living under the law, we're living under the Spirit. And today's the day we celebrate that our lives are guided and directed by the Holy Spirit. Great question at the end of that text. What does this mean? In short, it means it's changed. The world has changed. God's old way is given over to God's new way of working with human beings. He tried the law, he tried kings, he tried prophets, he tried everything, and we still failed. So now he's trying grace. He's trying the Spirit. That all you who have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior have the Holy Spirit. But now it's a question of allowing the Holy Spirit to guide and direct your lives. What's interesting is, was the Holy Spirit poured out on everyone? The answer is no. The Holy Spirit is not poured out on everyone. There are qualifying words. Now this chapter, Acts chapter 2, is he requotes Joel chapter 2 as well. So can someone flip back a few books into the Minor Prophets, into Joel chapter 2? And the prophet Joel was 800 years before Christ. And now Peter is standing up and quoting this Old Testament prophet, saying, yes, this is what he prophesied. Those who have called on the name of the Lord, those who have decided they want to be servants of God, those who have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and said, I will serve God, on them and them alone is the Holy Spirit poured out. And in Acts 2:18, he repeats the same phrase, on my servants. See, the whole world did not accept God's law. Even the Israelites fell away and worshipped idols time and time again. They did not accept God's law. And likewise, not everyone will receive Jesus Christ. Not everyone will receive the Holy Spirit. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, those are the ones who receive the Holy Spirit. So the question is, how do I know if I'm one of them? How do I know if I have the Holy Spirit? And the Apostle Paul has given us a few markers, if you like, of what people look like who have the Holy Spirit. As I was saying with the children this morning, how do you tell what kind of tree a fruit tree is? Well, you wait until the fruit comes out, and then you can say, aha, that's an apple tree, with a lot of confidence, because I see apples on it. And bless their hearts, they actually gave some of the words we're going to be looking at today. They talked about love and kindness and gentleness, and that just came right out of their hearts. That what it looks like to be a servant of God, what it looks like to be a child of God, you should be showing that kind of fruit. Here's the question. Here's the question. It's an old question. Many of you have heard it before. If, perchance, you were to be arrested and charged with being a Christian, and you were taken to court, and you were charged with being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to get a conviction? Would the prosecution get enough evidence to get a conviction? Good question, isn't it? It's a good question. Are we showing the fruit of the Spirit in such a way that it's unmistakable? Unmistakable. So let's dig in. We're going to be in Galatians today, Galatians 5, 16 to 23. Thank you, Judy. And he finishes up, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature and its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So the rules have changed. The system has changed. We're no longer under law. We're under the Spirit. We're not looking up a list of books, a list of commands to govern our day. We're listening to the Spirit inside us, guiding and directing our thoughts and our behavior. But the question then is, how do we measure up? There are a list there of 9 fruits of the Spirit, and they're in list of virtues, if you like, and it's not fruits, plural, it's fruit. They're all one cluster. It's singular. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. We don't get one each or pick from a bunch. It's not like the gifts. The gifts are given by the Holy Spirit as he determines for the common good. So in a congregation like this, we have people who are gifted in certain things, and they bring those gifts to the body, which allows us to operate as a congregation. But the fruit of the Spirit is everyone has the fruit of the Spirit. We just need to be displaying it. So let's take a look at them and see how we're doing. There won't be a test. It's okay. This is a self-examination, self-assessment. Okay? Self-assessment. So these virtues then are given in 3 groups of 3. So the first set is love, joy, and peace. These are could be classed as habits of the mind. The Godward thinking in our minds. How are we in our relationship upwards with God? Are we loving God and receiving his love in return? Are we in that love relationship with our Heavenly Father? Does our heart like swell with joy? No matter what's going on in our life, no matter how hard it is there always that sense of deep joy? God loves me, I love God, my eternity is set, therefore I have joy. No matter how hard and tough life can get, we should have that joy in our hearts, because God loves me. What else matters? Right? And peace, that sense of just tranquility, of being at peace with whatever's going on, because that is the fruit of God's Spirit working in me. So those first 3, love, and joy, and peace. And God is love. 1 John 4:8 says, we love God because God loved us. God is love. 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. great marker there, very specifically, very clearly outlined by Jesus. Love one another. That's us guys and girls, okay? Love one another as I have loved you. He's talking to his disciples. He's talking to a gathered group of people. Love one another as I have loved you. And the way Jesus loved them was he laid down his life for them. Greater love has no man than he lays down his life for his brother. So it's the highest calling of love for one another. We will give up what we want to demonstrate love for our fellow member of the body. And he gives, again, this is a sign. This is a sign to the world out there. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. If we are a congregation that the community knows, boy, those people at Christian Baptist really love each other. See how they look after one another. See how nobody goes without. See how they're ready to help one another. See how they're ready to get up with Habitat and help build a home for a needy couple, a needy family. See the love that emanates from that group of people. By this, people will know that we are disciples of Jesus. Because we go out of our way, we make sacrifices, we love one another, and we love the community. The high calling, that's why it's listed first. Love. Second one is joy. And joy is not happiness. Happiness is circumstantial. We experience joy in our hearts because we know that our eternity is taken care of. Our spiritual salvation has been taken care of at the cross. And no matter what happens in this life, it would never take away, it should never take away our joy of knowing God's love for us eternal. And peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the third one. Love, joy, peace. We should be completely at peace with God. He loves us. He has died on the cross for us. Our joy wells up and we demonstrate love to one another and to God. How are we doing on that? Self-assessment. You don't have to raise your hand or anything. Think about that. What is your love, joy, and peace bucket look like? Is it full? Is it overflowing? Is it sparse at times? Think about that. That's the fruit of the Spirit, that we should have that love and that joy and that peace always welling up inside of us. And that's our Godward, if you like, upwards relationship with God. Love, joy, and peace always flowing back to us. The next three, patience, kindness, and goodness, are outward. Fruit that shows outward in our relationship with each other. Patience is patience. And that's just putting up with one another. And sometimes that's hard. Okay? Some people can be very difficult to get along with. But the patience, the fruit of patience, if you like, is that's what we're called to do. Called to be patient with one another. Right, Tim?
Yeah.
We've never needed it. No, we've never needed it. We put up with one another as God does with us. As God does with us. Patience, patience. Joel 2:13 says, "Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger." He's patient. He's slow to anger. And abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. He relents from sending calamity. Slow to anger. He's patient. Let's model that fruit of the Spirit amongst ourselves, being patient with one another. Kindness and goodness are similar. The kindness we show towards one another in our words and in our actions, and the goodness, the active showing of kindness by doing good deeds to one another. That's our outward flow of the fruit of the Spirit. Just being good to one another, being kind, being patient. How are we doing on those? A couple of heads bowed now. A couple of faces beaming, thinking they're doing great. It's hard, isn't it? But this is the fruit of the Spirit. This is what we should be becoming. If the fruit of the Spirit is alive and ripe and growing inside of us, we will be patient and kind and good to one another, to each other, certainly in the body, but also outside in the community. And the last three are faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And these have been defined more of the internal kind of person, kind of character I'm going to be. Be a person of faithfulness. The same word is used for trustworthiness in the Greek. It's the same Greek root. Being faithful, but also being trustworthy. Are you someone that someone can trust with a piece of information? Are you someone can confide in? Are you trustworthy? Luke 16 says, whoever can be trusted with little can also be trusted with much. Whoever is dishonest with little will also be dishonest with much. If you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with somebody else's property, who will give you property of your own? Trustworthiness, faithfulness, fruit of the Spirit. Are you someone that can be trusted? Do you show that? Do you demonstrate that in your life? Gentleness. Part of the challenges and the beauty of translating from one language to another, particularly an ancient language to a developed language like English that has many words for the same word, for the same meaning. Gary's translation used the word meekness, but do this with meekness. In the NIV it says, do this with gentleness and respect. There's a time when you have to teach someone that what they're thinking and what they're believing is not necessarily on track. And there's a gentle way of bringing them back to the truth. So when someone asks you a question, or you hear someone say something that's not quite orthodox, if you like, it's not really in line with Scripture, there's a gentleness and a respectful way, a gentle and respectful way of drawing them back to the truth. And a gentle person is said that a gentle person is a teachable person, and they can teach. Fruit of the Spirit, that gentleness of spirit that can receive teaching, but also in a very gentle way can teach someone and redirect them. Self-control, the last one, inward one. Self-control is the ability to be engaged in the world, yet remain unblemished by the world. To have all of that stuff that's going on around us in the government, in the politics, in our schools now, or have that all go around, but you not to lose control of yourself through all of that. But for you to hold to the truth, for you to have victory in your life over the snares and the schemes of the devil. Because you know who you are in Christ. So you have that self-control. It's a fruit of the Spirit to not be swayed, to not be moved, no matter what's going on in the world, no matter how many people vote for something, how many people vote against it. You know who you are, and you have that self-control, that inner composure of knowing who you are in Christ. And so we have these nine fruit, if you like, virtues that make up the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience. Our relationship with God. Love, joy, peace. Patience, kindness, and goodness. Our relationship with each other. Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How we are in our own person, in our own being. Today marks the time when the church all around the world will celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit. All who have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior have received the Holy Spirit. If you like, the seed of the Holy Spirit is planted in you. Now let's start seeing some fruit. Let's start seeing some joy in our faces. Let's start seeing some gentleness in our interactions with each other. Let's start seeing patience, kindness. The children use those words. They were getting it. Have we got it yet? Let's pray. Father God, how we long for that outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Lord, that we in this community could have the same impact in Newmarket that the disciples did in Jerusalem. Lord, we need the fire of your Spirit in our hearts. We need to be purified. We need to be set apart. We need to become holy again. We need your Spirit, Lord, to light up our lives, to fill our hearts, to fill this congregation, to fill this place. And so, Lord, we pray again. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Renew us, restore us, revive us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You heard the message today of the fruit of the Spirit that should be abundant and growing and demonstrated in each of our lives. As you go from this place today, go knowing God loves you. God has peace with you. You have peace with God. Your eternity is secure. And that joy should just radiate from your face so that people will ask you, why are you so joyful? And then you can tell them. Go in peace today. Come on down and have refreshments with us. I am asking for someone to come and be that habitat hero. So please talk to me afterwards. And the t-shirts all need to go. Minimum of $10 each. Thank you.